I guess so. Okay. I guess since whiskey creates a virtual reality and a computer does, so there's a kesher between the L'chaim and this. They both deal with virtual realities. Okay. Good.
Zor, you just remember to mute your microphone.
Yeah, I'm on mute as of now.
Okay, good. So we're holding here in Toras Karnim. Yeah, over Toras Karnim in Avas Rea, right? Okay. So first he says, let's focus on V'after HaKamocha. B'gemar b'eg madlikin ma'isa b'goy echot shebo lefnei shamay omle gairena ma'ashe lerni kol ha-Torah kulok sh'ni omen regal achas famous Gemara doch v'ibamus ha-binyin shebo yodai bo lefnei hilo giroi omle da'aloch sani l'chavach l'savit zui kol ha-Torah kulok v'idoch pirishu zul Gemara. So this that Gemara in Shabbos is sort of a seems to be a hemshich of this idea that you could say that kol ha-Torah kulok lies in V'after HaKamocha. So Rashi explains that loch sani lechavach leisavid re'acha re'a vichal tazev zakadosh baruch hu. So re'a is going on a kadosh baruch hu as a it's another way of describing kadosh baruch hu al tava advar shalocha sani shiyavach havercha advarcha. So it means the mutuality of a kadosh baruch hu and a person lies in not being oival dvarav. The loshenacha chavruch mamish kegoin gnevo gzeil niyafarayv mitzvus, meaning it's going on other people. Being that much of the Torah is benam chaveroi, idoch shadir to pirusha domulsa hu ledas ezedav a sonu zilgmar v'teida. Everything else sort of flows from it. Just a bit of a dochak. Oshnei pirush rashiim tchukim moit ruchaykim moit. So he says both pirushim he feels are ruchaykim. So the hemshich of it. I mean, there's nothing in the sefer toldos adam. There's nothing that in any way would describe a type of central mitzvah or anything for that matter. So what's the kesha? So he says, the near lefarish ki mashama the son of chavlo savit kolze mipnei she'oyev lechaver kmo she'oyev es atzmoi vecholze shero ui lehoyev es chaveroi mipnei she'nivru chaver b'dmusa v'tzalmoi umipnei she'esh lem dmus v'tzalm echod hari b'tzad hazeh chaveri v'u atzmed av echod kashesh lem tzalm echod legamri. Let's talk about this. Let's explain the point that he's making here. Let's look at something which is, I guess, human nature of sorts, and try to get a feel for what's happening. If someone tells me about an animal that is hurting, so if I'm a sensitive soul, it bothers me, I try to do something to help the animal and so on. If someone tells me there is a person that hurts, I will feel more inclined. If someone tells me an Asian person is hurting versus a Caucasian person, a person that sort of looks like me, I'll have more feelings towards a person that looks like me, the person that's part of my nation, and so on. So we're talking way beyond. I understand, for instance, that my immediate family I feel very strongly about. But the difference between somebody who lives in Japan that I've ever met to someone who lives in England that I never met, it really shouldn't be much of a difference. And yet, there is a greater sense of empathy. We see it in the way in which we you know, when we look at news, the newspaper, if there'd be 1,000 children in England starving, we would be very, very upset. If there are 100,000 children in Nigeria starving, I mean, you know, we kind of feel bad, but it's much, much more dampened. Still have that type of feeling. So, don't worry, Peter. South Africans are like English for that, for this thing. So you're okay. So what's the pshat? What's the difference? The answer is that our sympathy and empathy also resonates with how much that person is like me. In other words, I have extraordinarily strong feelings for myself. I mean, you know, all my feelings are for myself. The more something is like me, the more empathy exists and so on. So ranked in order of closer to me and further from me is how, generally speaking, my sympathy and empathy will work. Obviously, if I create a very, very, very strong, you know, it's a case. So, for instance, if I bring to you an African kid in Nigeria who's about to die of starvation versus an American kid that can't go to college, fine. So that also will take into account. But generally speaking, if other things are equal, sympathy goes, because sympathy is a, I guess it deals with how I deal with someone who is like me. That's where it comes from. So there the person is going to, that's where the person is going to sympathize the most. So now let's look at the following case. If I have sometimes a sort of a mental conflict about who's closer. So I have a relative, a first cousin, but he lives in Europe somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. I see him maybe, I don't know, once every few years or something. And I have a next door neighbor who I'm very close to. We share a lot together. So there'll be a struggle there. A lot of times our instinct is to go with the neighbor, but we feel guilty and we'll go with so on and so forth. What about a fellow American versus a Jew who lives in Yemen? So that really depends on how I view myself. Let's give an example. Imagine I'm an ambassador to a country for 5 years, for 10 years. Even if I live next door to somebody who's a native and I feel we're close, we have a close friendship, I'll always feel that it's not me and my people, not my nation, and my sympathy will really go with the people back home, just because my perspective is that these people are the people that are me and mine, and the others are others. Different types of people in relationship really, really depends on my sense of things. Now, let's take something else. Imagine I am... I'm a doctor somewhere. I work in a hospital and I have very close colleagues, mixed, Eden, Goyim, whatever. And, you know, I spend all day and we do research together and we work at the same things and so on. And then there's a Yid who lives somewhere in Williamsburg, a city of Yid, that I have very little in common with him. So we would be stuck again. Somewhere we develop a certain sense of kinship with the people here. On the other hand, I know down deep there's supposed to be friendship with that person there. So the Haftalar Echa Kamoicha is meant to define who I am and who the other person is in order of this kinship. So I'm a Yid, the other person is a Yid, but he lives far away. He's in a very different world. He's of a different personality than me, and so on. The only way I could say v'afshecha kamocha is if the kamocha and the re'acha I've sharpened in a way where my mindset is that the that people, that the core of my life is Tzal Malikim, to be Kedmusa, Tzal Malikim, Kedmusa Baruch Hu, this is who I am, and all other people in the world who are trying to bring Tzuras Adam to the fore are bonded to me. The only way I can feel the bond, so if I work in a hospital as a doctor, part of a team, so the people that are part of my team are bond with me. If I happen to walk into a hospital, or I walk by these doctors, I don't bond because I don't see myself as part of that world. So where I see myself and who are the other inhabitants of my world is really going to be what's going to determine where my empathy is. So when he told him, so that's what the Maral says over here. Because we have a Tzelem and Dmus that is alike, that generates that Ava. So this has to be my central core value. So by having the sense of my tzalim and his tzalim being similar or the same, and that being the most important defining factor of myself, that gives me that ava.
So,
yes.
What do you mean by being the same? What does it mean?
So basically, we're part of that same team. In other words, a person who's doing mitzvahs, I need to see a person who is a oisa maisa mitzvahs is engaged in bringing out the tzalim alakim, and he sees it himself the tzalim alakim, and b'meila he sees it in the other as well. That's the nekuda of commonality. So it can't be relegated to just meisim we do. I happen to cross the street over here, you happen to cross the street, that doesn't give us any kinship. But, so I happen to put on tefillin, you happen to put on tefillin. But if I see the putting on tefillin of a certain tzuras adam, a shleimus tzuras adam, and you're putting on tefillin, so then there's that kinship of the same same tzalim and dmus. Okay. So what attracts me to you is that I see in your Tzal Malakim that which is the what I see in you as your most defining nekuda is in me my most defining nekuda. And that is the tachas ha'teira. It's an incredible revelation. This piece. There's in Ali Shur in the second chelak. Let me just get it down a second here. He brings a medrash. He starts your test. It's in. Hello? Are we back on? Okay. Chazal Itanavel Yo. Pamachas is over me mokum le mokum. Okay, are we back on? Peter, are we back on?
Hi, Rabbi Lubyansky.
Yeah, we're okay.
Just waiting for one more. Let me just recall him. Give me a second.
Let's
see. Let's try again. Okay, I think we can get going if you want.
Yeah. So there's a ton of Dvel Yo that says Pamachas is over me mokim la mokim. Somebody who knows Mikra and doesn't know Mishnah, he came to me and he said that the following Shaila. Rebbe, Shnei Dvar Miesh Boilam Ani Oven Bolavavi Ave Gemura Ve'elhein Toyer V'Yisrael Avlan Eni Yedea Ezem En Koidem. I like Torah a lot, I like Klai Yisrael. Who is more important? So he says, he feels that everything is there for Adam, and mainly Adam is first, and this is for Adam. In other words, the everything is there in order to serve Adam and to bring out the Tzuras Adam in the world. He has a whole Maroch here, the long Maroch called Mareches Adam, where he speaks about that really the focus point of Avodah in a certain sense is Adam. And if we're to describe it, it means that to bring out in a person the makeup of a pneumius of a person, that it's Elikus, and that's a Tachlis. So B'meila, the person... This is the Amud Merkazi of the Torah, because by understanding what creates a kesha between me and everyone else who's Re'acha, I understand what the Adam is. Okay, that's one point.
Why does it say he only knew Mikra?
That's like very interesting. It's an interesting point, and I think that has part to do with it. I don't want to get off a topic. The Mikra is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Had he known Torah Shebaal Peh, there'd be no question, because there it's clear the Torah emanates from Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael, you know, in other words, if we are the fountain of Torah, so to speak, if Torah starts Me'ah Omer, Omer Yehuda. Then I think that's clear. It's from somebody whose vantage point is still only Mikra. I believe that's why it says it. Okay, so it says like this: So all of Torah is a description. How does a person become divine? So now, with this understanding, the other half of the Chazal has some meaning. What's the pshat that Zeseif told us, and what pshat does that have with Vafra Kamoicha? So he says, Kimashis Adam tells us so zehuligami bidmus alekim. Shim ainli bonim ki iluhu me maitadmus. Shekach omru kol sheinas vipiri rivia ki iluhu me maitadmus. Shenema bidmus alekim osoi soi. Visomich lahem. Beatem pruvu. So, the Zes Sefer told us Adam. He says, from the fact that Adam brings toldus to the world that are Adam, So let's explain this point a little bit. Let's give an example. Let's take a look at the way in which the world looks at the inyan of having children, preserving the world, and so on. You get a lot of Musa Shmuzen about from the newspapers that, you know, if we're not going to take care of our planet, there'll be nothing left for our children. So in as much as the statement means that our children will not, that, you know, we'll have a child who's going to starve, chas v'shalom, to death because there's not enough food or heat or whatever is in the world, that talks to me. You know, in other words, I understand that. But let's say, but let's say it's not like that. What will happen is the world will just stop being. Now, let's take away the pain of somebody, you know, of not being able to food or warmth or whatever it is. So now we have a different issue. So let's talk about this issue. So humanity, as we know it, will disappear. The question is, so what? So what? I let's ask it a little bit deeper. If you know, they say, well, it lasted so many thousands of years, wouldn't it be a shame if it disappears? But let's ask ourselves deeper. Every single generation does what it does. It lives its life, it has its enjoyments, it has its problems. There's nothing cumulative, really. There's no reason why there's nothing of being mamshich. I mean, my parents liked vanilla, I liked chocolate, my children were like strawberry. There's no overarching value, idea, or anything that's really riding on top of it. Each thing is a unit of its own. So it's like a tissue. Each tissue slaps another tissue out of the box. Each is a separate unit, you use it, throw it out, and that's it. So to say that, I mean, if I'm alive, I'd like to have things. If no one's alive, I couldn't care less. The people have this feeling, which is, it's a true feeling, but they don't. But the way they translate it, the way they lishitasam, it's a real problem. It's meaningless. Let's look at Klal Yisrael. We see ourselves as a canvas on which the Elikus is painted onto. We see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina, presence, Gilui, whatever you want to call it, as taking place on us as a platform for it. And that's who we are. We see it as happening not only over the entire Klal Yisrael, like a painting that you would paint over a large canvas with many, many subsections. We see it as being painted over the generations. So there was a Dor that did this, there was a Dor Mekabel Torah, a Dor that was Nechzat Yisrael, the Dor of Brit Beis HaMikdash, the Dor that was Eved Avodah Zarah, the Dor that went to Golos, the Dor that came back, and so on. So we, Klal Yisrael, L'doroisav, are a canvas or a platform upon which there is Gilui Elikus. And therefore, if I choose not to have children, then I'm discontinuing that hemshich. What I'm doing is destroying the picture on it. It's like, imagine if somebody stole a rock from me, and he carved out a beautiful statue from it, and I come to him and I say, I'm taking it back. It's my rock. And I tell him, well, yes, the rock is yours, but the statue, the tzura on it, is not yours. Pay me for it, whatever the halacha, I'm not going to go into the halacha of Yotes Techaveir and so on, I'm just using it as a muscle. And I'll tell him, well, is there anything but rock? You know, run your hand over it. Do you see anything but rock? He says, no, but there's a tzura on it. There's a demus on it. And the person says, I don't know what you're talking about. You're talking gibberish. You're talking maral type of stuff. We understand that this granite, this stone, it has on it a certain tzura that's on it, and this is serving as a platform for it. We understand humanity as being a platform on which is Tzelem Elokim. And the Tzelem unfolds, the Tzelem realizes itself not only horizontally, so to speak, by including everybody, because everyone has another piece of it. It's in generation after generation, and therefore, if a person is not oising peer review, he's stopping that. This sefer told us ha'adam the way he learns it. It says Sefer told us Adam, beyoyim brala kimas Adam b'dmusal kim asa. I say, it tells me that toldos, the concept of toldos and the mile of toldos has to do with this nekuda. So all of Torah is just telling you how it is that you have this Mila. So in a certain sense, this pasuk is more direct, and it shows the concept of Tzalmu Kim in a person himself, the difference between if I am to myself or I have children and pass on the tzura that's on me. But oid, kibepasik said yes.
Yes. Yeah. It's lachara, they're two separate dinim here in a way, right? There's the din of what we might like to define it as the seichel, but then they are definitely a person's got a deep regish that he children is a hemshech, whatever that means exactly.
Right.
That's much deeper than his seichel, right? So there's this dichotomy of people, because people can live on seichel on a much more shitri and wrong way, but their deeper connection, or their part of their, it's more than nefesh, is connected to something real.
It's in some ways, yes. In some ways, it is. In some way, it is something that is ingrained in us. It's like we sometimes have intuitions, even though we can't quantify. Let's say, like a good businessman, he may not be able to understand it with seichel, but he somehow has a feel for it. So like all other things, the feeling sometimes does stretch. I mean, if you want to take a look at something fascinating, look around at the eulogies and gravestones and all sorts of things like that of Umos Haolam. And look at Klal Yisrael, even sometimes the fringes, you will find many times in Klal Yisrael, you'll find nachas from his children, Ador Yesharim Avorach, El Chidush Kinda, a legacy, the tradition continues, the dynasty continues, and so on. Those are terms and emotions and feelings that ring very true to everybody. And again, whether you can intellectually sort of exactly define it, or it's just a regish, but it's there. There's nothing like that by Umos Haolam. It's so, like I always say, the word nachas doesn't exist. The sense that, you know, I have an ideal and a value that I see as the purpose of my life is to carry that ideal and value, and that my children should carry it on after me and expand on it, my grandchildren should expand on that. That whole sense of it, it doesn't exist out there. You know, maybe maybe you had it like in a monarchy where, you know, the house of Romanov, the house of this, the house of that, but in the normal part of the thing, there doesn't have that sense. The idea of having my values, my child, if I live for my values, I want these values to be my child's values, and so on. It's unique, guys. And you're right. Some people have it just as a regish, without even being able to explain it. But that regish is a true regish. For oid, ki pasuk ze nema pepirish says sefer tolos adam bi yibro lekimas adam etzalam kimas ayisay. O bezeh pasuk niska ki chol tolos adam nivro betzalam lekim. Vekolals uklal ze yoisim in after kamoicha. Vekol ze yisim after kamoicha. Ki vafter kamoicha mashma kamoicha vlo yoisim. Vimu mizbaze in kein chaveru gam ki mizbaze. Shelik sivol after kamoicha lo yisim kamoicha. If after kamoicha it just tells me parity. So let's say I have a pretty low sense of self and I'm not into it. There's nothing in that's mechayev me to reach out and further than that to my friend. this pasuk doesn't limit it and say find the common denominator between you and the other person. It says you're the musa lekim. Alekachu klal yoyse v'yoyse. Vagirsa b'yalkut v'pashas breishis. Re'akiva oime v'avtecha k'moicha ze klal gol b'toyra b'nazi oime zese tazon klal gol b'toyra. Rabbi Kiva, I'm after because I call God to Shloi Toima. Hoil vin is bazesi is bazi haver imi. Hoil vin is kalalt is kal haver imi. Mata oise karda le miata mevaze with musal kima soise adkan. Venira kito seifahu. He says he thinks the gears is wrong. Kima shaoma shloi Toima hula kodiv ben azehim. Shaoma kize seifat also odom call God yoise. Vazekoma kile kahu call God yoise. Exactly in line with what he's saying. That's how he says Pshat over here also. I would like to add something over here in terms of what he says in this point of the Klal Gadol Batar. Ze Klal Gadol Batar. So the word Zeklal Gadol Batayra, or better said, what's the point? What's the point of identifying certain mitzvahs that are Zeklal Gadol? So we can say that, I mean, it's the most important mitzvah. It's a very important mitzvah. So we do have mitzvahs like that. It says mitzvahs sashkulois, mitzvahs that everything is totally in it. This is shokulot, that shokulot. That's not the mashmos. We're not talking about the mitzvah. It's saying about the term zeklal gadol b'Torah. So what exactly does it mean the klal gadol b'Torah? And he also says it's a klal gadol. I guess one purpose of klalim is a sifri that says that a person should always make his divrei Torah klalim. That seems to be more easier to remember. Like if a person needs to remember every single detail, then the person is not going to remember it. He's going to forget it. So you say, okay, just remember the rule, and then in every case you'll be able to figure it out based on the rule. That's a normal sense of that. Here it's saying something else. The klal means, if I look around and I see many, many different cases. So, for instance, if I look at dogs and I see many different types of dogs, big ones, small ones, hairy ones, bald ones, spotted ones, and so on and so forth. So when I get a sense at some point about what's in the kuda, like what's the common denominator of all dogs, like what that gives me a whole different understanding in the term of it. As long as I have bits and pieces, I'm not defining the core of it. By saying the klal into which everything else fits, then I've defined a certain core of something, and I've reached an understanding of the content in a way that I don't have it from many pratim. So I'm trying in Torah to find what is the point of Torah. Yes, Torah has many, many chiyuvim, many obligations. They're all good. They're all wonderful. They all give a lot of schar, and they're all, I can say wonderful things about it. What's the klal gadol? Give me a pasuk that describes to me, or a mitzvah that describes to me klalos adam. Not just many things about adam. Ze klal gadol b'Torah means that when I define a klal, I define the essence of something. So, lemashal, if somebody is trying to explain what the word sweet means, and he gives me sugar, I don't know, because a sugar has many attributes. It's white, it's powdery, it melts, and whatever it is. let's say a person then gives honey also, and then gives other things. At some point, the word sweet, in its purity, in its essence, is comes across to me. So, being able to get and understand the heart of something versus understanding periphery information is the type of that's the usage of Klal Gadol. So when I'm looking around for Klal Gadol in the Torah, what am I looking for? I mean, is it a mnemonic device to remember like all the mitzvahs by remembering that? I doubt that for anyone, either the two psukim, it serves that. It's not shaykh. Is it telling me like what's most important? Certainly not. Periviv is a very important mitzvah. Chamor is a very important mitzvah. But one can't say what we're talking about chamuris and kalas. It's certainly not the sense of it. What we're talking about is to understand the essence of mitzvahs. When I have a klal that encompasses all the pieces, then I understand what the heart neshama is. It's like the old-fashioned keys and locks, where in a big institution you can have one key that fits all the locks, and which means that whatever pins that affect is really the core of all of the keys and locks, but the other ones have different other elements to eliminate the other keys or whatever it is. So having over here a clear sense of what the klal is gives me a very clear sense of what the essence is. Another way of translating klal would be the essence of something. So the v'avtarecha kamoicha is one thing that gives that away, and the zesef tolzom is another thing. Both of them, one is the commonality of all of Klal Yisrael, is the common denominator is this ruchnius that we're talking about, this tzelem lekim. And in a deeper sense, the zesef tolzom tells me that the person that all humanity through the generations is simply a canvas, so to speak, on which to paint Tzelem Elokim. Okay, any questions? Now, next week is, in case you haven't checked your calendar, and in case your kids haven't schlepped logs for the last month, is Lag BaOmer. So, I mean, I have a chasen that I'm going to. I'll be gone the afternoon. So tomorrow, Thursday afternoon next week does not work for me. If we want to think some substitute, I'm open. But like I probably would have to leave to the chasen no later than 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So my time. So it's up to you to whatever it is that you if you want to do earlier, you want to do this, not do it, it's fine. Whatever, just let me know.
Wednesday
at this time. It's good for everybody? It's good? What?
We'll see. I don't know. Because it's also that Wednesday is also Lag BaOmer.
Wednesday is the Ikar Lag BaOmer. That's a Hadlaka. Hadlaka is a mitzvah.
Yeah, I'm saying for us, it's for you, it's fine. I think, I don't know.
Okay, so Peter, you'll get back to me. If you're allowed to, whatever it is. As far as I'm concerned, Thursday's out. Let me just make sure. Wednesday's fine, I think. Wednesday will be fine next week. So
not going to work with the kids in Lag BaOmer.
It's not on Lag BaOmer, no.
Okay, so then it will.
So 2 weeks, I guess, from
okay, so 2 weeks, I mentioned that's Chof Heir. Chof Heir, yeah. That sounds like Yom Shaim's Chof Chesir. Okay, fine. So Blineta Chafeya would work. Okay, good. Say the Gomorrah.
Thank you,
Ben. Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Take care. Bye.